From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines at the half and next hour, the predictions of intuitive remote viewer Sean David Morton. Well, there were some very tense moments in Syria moments ago. Explosions heard at a northern Syrian military complex. For a while, nobody really knew what was going on there. 15 soldiers killed, 50 others wounded. According to a Mideast news agency, the blast was caused when high summer temperatures set off high explosive materials at the Army depot, adding that the explosion was not the result of sabotage. In the Mojave, California, two people killed, four others critically injured by an explosion at the desert airport site there, used by pioneering aerospace company that sent the very first private manned rocket into space. The accident involved nitrous oxide, but it was not known if an actual rocket motor test was underway or whether it occurred during preparation for a test. Scaled Composites is the builder of Spaceship One, the first private manned rocket to reach space, and is developing a successor for the new space tourism business, Virgin Galactic. Bert Rutan heads up that company. In Cape Canaveral, Florida, space program worker deliberately damaged a computer that is supposed to fly aboard the shuttle Endeavour in less than 2 weeks, an act of sabotage that was caught before the equipment was loaded onto the spaceship. And also more problems for NASA. Astronauts apparently were allowed to fly after flight surgeons and other astronauts warned that they were so drunk they posed a flight safety risk on at least two occasions. This according to Aviation Week. In a moment, we're going to check in with science advisor and head of the EnterpriseMission.com, Richard C. Hoagland, to get his take on both of these stories. Well, let's get an update. You know, we've been following the tax case of Ed and Elaine Brown. They are still holed up in their home in New Hampshire. They were convicted in absentia in April to serve 63 months in prison for what the government says, failing to pay income tax. Elaine's on the line with us right now. Elaine, how are things going for you, too?
Hello, George.
Hi.
Things are going well. It's been quiet here for the past week or so. As you probably know, on the 14th, we had a concert here.
I heard about that. And
yes.
How many people showed up?
We had, I'd say, somewhere between 300 and 400.
300 and 400? Okay, how many might have been, IRS agents or whatever sneaking into the property?
Frankly, I don't think there were any. But if they were, all they did was have a good time, enjoy some good music. Poker Face was played here along with a few other bands.
So you weren't concerned, Elaine, of anybody showing up to grab you and Ed?
No. We had too many friends around.
A few weeks ago, I interviewed Louisiana attorney Tom Cryer, who has been acquitted on tax charges.
Right.
Have you been following that story?
No, I did. I did hear. Well, we really can't follow anything because the communications have been totally shut off.
Everything's gone now. Okay.
Right. Yeah. But I do know that he was acquitted.
So jury
found him innocent. Yeah.
Yep. You've got a lot of support out there. So what happens next, Elaine, for you and Ed? I mean, my God, how long can you two just stay there?
Well, we can stay here for quite a while, actually. We're pretty self-contained here, you know. As you know, they shut off our power, our phone, our internet, and our television. But we have always generated our own electricity ever since 1991 when we built our house.
Well, you know, you've generated a lot of support. People are at a point right now, Elaine, where they want to know, is there truly a tax code or not? And, you know, I think a lot of this has to do with you and Ed, you know, holding yourself up in your house.
Yeah. Well, there is a tax code. However, no one has ever been able to show us the law that requires you and me to pay a tax on our earnings. That's all we've ever asked. Since 1994, we've asked the same question. Show us the law and we'll pay the tax. No one ever has.
And up to this point, you're not surrounded anymore by law enforcement?
No, there's There's no one here. Friends come and go. Supporters come and go all the time. We have never been alone.
Do you think, Elaine, that this incredible publicity that you and Ed now have, that this publicity might have at least gotten law enforcement to kind of back off for a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's even got some of them thinking that, gee, maybe we are right after all. Unfortunately, some of the marshals have made the statement that they're aware that we have committed no crime, but they're still going to go ahead and do what they're ordered to do.
All right, we're going to keep checking in with you, Elaine, and Ed as well, too. We haven't talked with him in a while. How is his health? He's okay?
Yes, he's fine. We're both fine, yes.
All right, great. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you, George.
That's Elaine Brown and Ed. They're in their home in Plainville, New Hampshire, just staying there as they avoid their conviction on paying the income tax. And so far, law enforcement is not pushing the issue. The House of Representatives has attached two amendments to spending bills intending to free Border Patrol agents Ignacio Ramos and Jose Campion from prison and prohibit also the Department of Transportation from spending any funds on the development of NAFTA superhighways. And several congressmen are discussing a third amendment designed to shut down the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. Jerry Corsi writes that story for World Net Daily. We'll just have to see if these two amendments have any teeth and if they stay. Last night we reported on the apparent desertion of Corey Rao. He is the 24-year-old producer of the controversial 9/11 documentary Loose Change. And he was arrested. We're going to check in now with Alex Jones because, Alex, has he been charged? Is he a deserter? People are saying that Corey is telling people he had an honorable discharge.
Okay, let me be clear. I've known Corey for about 2 years. I've known Dylan Avery via the phone, interviewing him for more years than that. Dylan Avery, 22 years old, made Loose Change, the first edition, on the internet on his laptop. Corey, his high school friend, got back in 2005, a tour in Afghanistan in the invasion for a year in Iraq, and that's all on the record, highly decorated. Then I got to know Corey and them a lot better. I am the executive producer on the Loose Change final cut. That's coming out later this year to be in theaters and also in the stores. A very professionally produced, incredible new interviews, a lot of information. So I know Corey very well. I talked to Corey today. I talked to his dad yesterday. This is what happened. This is the facts, okay? And for those that haven't researched this, I know, George, you've covered it. You've seen it in the news. They have stop loss. And so he signed up for a three-year tour.
Mm-hmm.
Right out of high school, 6 months before 9/11, he signed up. But then you don't ship right away. This is the chronological events. 1 month before 9/11, he hits basic training. He is in basic training on the morning of 9/11. They call him in. They show the towers. They go, we're going to war. He's a jock, conservative football player. He's, let's go. Let's get him. And, you know, from upstate New York. So they go into Afghanistan. He witnesses staged events with CNN. I've interviewed him on this, where there's no bin Laden, no al-Qaeda. They stage that they're firing at emplacements for the media, claim they're fighting the enemy. Stage this with the media. He sees that. He still believes in the war. Pat Tillman complained about the same stuff. You know, he's assigned to the Army Rangers. Then he gets sent to Iraq, and he is in combat. He's in some very famous skirmishes. He's also has testified on the internet. Just type Corey Rowe into Google Video. You can watch the hour-long interview I did with him a year ago where they were in a big massacre when they thought somebody shot at them. So they mowed, the whole unit shot up this big convoy of cars coming down the highway, and it was a wedding procession. They'd been shooting out of the roofs. They did nothing wrong. They thought they were being shot at. The point is he went through all this trauma. Then he went and spent months at the main hospital in Baghdad guarding the front door, literally with dead children and carnage all day long. He saw that. Then he said, I'm out of the military now. And he went home, and they said, no, we're automatic re-upping you. You didn't read the fine print. He goes, are you kidding? In World War II, you only had to spend a year. And I know that's true. My grandfather only,
that is true. Yeah.
He only had to fly 22 missions over Germany. Okay, and barely lived through that, by the way. My dad's dad. And my other grandfather was in the Air Corps as well. He only had to fly that many missions. So I know 22 missions. Well, if you were a ground grunt 1 year, and they've all talked about troops starting their fourth and fifth tours in Iraq right now. So my point is the wheels are coming off, and he thought he was released. I've flown with Corey. I've picked Corey up at the airport. I've seen him go through airport security. Okay, that's the first warrant they put up as a desertion. Now, let me tell you what happened. This is the scoop. Nobody even knows this. We're just going to go ahead and release it here. 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, they went up to the Northeastern Air Defense System in Rome, New York, for some final footage on how they believed what really happened on 9/11. They got followed. They got some information taken. It was Corey's car. Dylan was driving it. Dylan Avery, the main filmmaker, the director. He comes back with a cameraman. The police admit, both to Fox News and the New York Star, that they'd never seen this before. They got a weird call from the military. The warrant appeared to arrest him, and they went and came out of the woods, turned their power off, turned their phone off. That's how they knew something was happening. He came out and said, hey, here's my papers. Fine, I'll go with you. I was honorably discharged. And everybody talked to his dad. Everybody, yeah, he was honorably discharged. We've seen the documents. He gets to Fort Drum. He's there a day and a half until I finally get the numbers out. I go, I'm not waiting anymore yesterday. I go, that's it. Turn the dogs loose. I don't do this often. I said, call them. They got thousands of phone calls. And they finally looked at his documents, and the MPs walk in. The head of the base walks in and says, we did pull your record. You were discharged. They said, we're taking you to the airport with a ticket, flying you home. And he said, no, I'm going to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. It's right there on the Tennessee line. He's on the Tennessee side. I'm going to go find out what happened here.
So now he wants to get to the bottom of this, right?
He voluntarily shows up. When you show back up to your unit, they go, we don't know what's going on. It may take a week. They said, here's your uniform. You're back in your bunk. That's why I called him tonight and said, they want you on. He said, I'm in the bunk. You know, it's like Full Metal Jacket.
All right, so where is he right now, Alex?
He's not in the brig. He voluntarily. See, this happened last time. He got an honorable discharge. Then they said automatic re-up. He said no. 18 months ago, he got picked up. They said, fine, you're right. You don't have to do another tour. Because it's not really the law. It's like a technical intimidation.
All right, but where is he right now?
So he got picked up 18 months ago. He got released. They said he could go. They picked him up again this time. So he is at Fort Campbell Base, the Night Stalkers, where they're based, in a regular barracks, back with his unit, and they're supposed to start the process to officially get him out again this time. See, the military released him and said, go. And he said, you've done this before.
He wants it clean.
He shot video of it for everybody to see, got on the plane and from Boston and flew back.
So he's going to stay there until they give him the honorable discharge again.
Yes, he is there. And this is a psychological warfare event. This has Army intelligence who illegally, and I support our military, but not when they do this. It's been in the Houston Chronicle. They spy on peace groups. They've spied on us. Ladies that give sandwiches out to the troops when they come back, and, you know, their peace groups they've spied on, they infiltrate groups. They literally thought this would be a cute idea to re-put out a warrant to arrest him and call him a deserter. And now even Fox admits that, well, we talked to the cops. They've never seen this before.
Well, and I got to tell you, Alex, me, 9 years in the Navy, if he was a deserter, I was ballistic if he truly was a deserter.
Yeah.
But apparently you're telling me he was not.
Well, this is what happened. I have seen him fly. I have flown with him. He made no history of it. He said, man, it's really weird. 18 months ago, I got picked up even though I was out, and they let me go. And I remember him talking about that a year and a half ago. And then now they arrest him again, and he's like, no, I'm not going home. He voluntarily, after they released him and said, we don't know why we were told to arrest you, he went there. This is...
Okay, well, I tell you what, we got to run, Alex. I want to get you on and Corey when he gets out. Would you make sure you grab him for us?
Yes, sir, and I have the full details at prisonplanet.com and jonesreport.com, all the facts, all the documents. You've got his number. It's just hard for him to make a call out of barracks.
I understand. Okay.
At 1 o'clock in the morning, but you guys are welcome to have him on tomorrow. I've called him. I've told him to come on, but he just couldn't make the call tonight. But you've got his number. You're welcome to have him on anytime. And, George, thank you. Thank you for covering this issue. This is, by the way, they've only prosecuted less than 20 people in the last 4 years, even if he was a deserter, which he isn't. The point is, why did a shadowy group order the police to go grab him from his rural home?
That's the bigger story. Alex, keep in touch. Alex Jones. Michael Vick, Atlanta Falcons quarterback, pleads not guilty to federal dogfighting charges, released without bond until a November 26 trial. Of course, he and three others charged with competitive dogfighting, procuring, training pit bulls for fighting. Email in from our friend Brad Steiger, Coast to Coast regular, friend of Art Bell's as well. He's written several books with Art. Brad advised me not to go ahead with last night's Ouija board experiment. He said, George, we are so pleased that you, a fellow worker in the light, gave heed to your inner spiritual guidance and called off the mass Ouija board experiment. We were earnestly praying that you would reconsider what could have been and act with many tragic consequences. Even those individuals who consider themselves rationalists and skeptics are far more suggestible than they would like to believe. Many blessings, Brad and Sherry Steiger. Well, but then I get this email in from JC. Yep. You want to corrupt my soul, he writes, and also Petunia Pringle. Petunia Pringle, by the way, not Edna. Petunia Pringle, my new assistant's soul. You steal souls so good because you were a crime lord, and that's why Art Bell brought you into the fold, J.C. All right, there you go, J.C. Back in a moment with Richard C. Holden. We're going to hold him over for a little bit because we've got two huge NASA stories. Drunk astronauts and sabotage aboard a space shuttle. Richard C. Hoagland is next on Coast to Coast AM. By the way, it's ccradio.com for that CC Radio. I may have said Coast to Coast AM.com. That is etched in my brain. ccradio.com. Richard C. Hoagland, he's our science advisor, head of the enterprisemission.com. Two incredible stories. Richard, see, Richard and I were emailing each other. You talk about synchronicity at the exact same time with regards to these stories. Sabotage. You know what? I don't want to call you clairvoyant, but I talked to you 2 months ago, and the word possible shuttle sabotage came out of your mouth.
You know, Alex just named it. He said the wheels are coming off, and it's in all directions. The federal government is in a crash dive, and no agency and no part of it seems to be spared, and NASA in this story this afternoon least of all. Let me say I am not surprised. I am very concerned, but I'm not surprised, because as you and I have discussed on this show many times, the shuttle program is in deep, deep trouble. And I have said that there are forces that are trying to get rid of it because it's a financial albatross. It's technologically obsolete. Every time the crews go up, you hold your breath that they're going to make it back. Someone is trying to get rid of the shuttle. And this story from Bill Gerstenmaier this afternoon, who was one of the high NASA officials in the shuttle program who actually broke it, is so unbelievable. There's an electronic box that the next shuttle, Endeavour, which leaves for the space station on the 7th of August, is supposed to take up to the ISS, to the space station, and connect up, that will relay basic strain gauge readings from the trusses on which the solar panels are mounted. Somebody physically with a wire cutters cut wires inside this box, and they did it both to the box that's going to fly, and there's a backup box, and they did that too. It's so obvious, George, that it's obvious they were supposed to find it. In other words, it's not the box that concerns me. It's the diversion.
So you don't think it was sabotage to hurt. You think it was sabotage for intent, for people to see it.
Sabotage for intent. They're not telling us who the contractor was, who the employee was, who's supposed to be, you know, your fabled disgruntled employee. But if someone is seriously mad at NASA, this is the dumbest, stupidest thing to do to get back at them, because it was so easy to find. So, you know, conspirator Hoagland here says, what's the story two levels down? What is someone trying to tell us about the shuttle program and the space station program? And the only way they can think to do it is to do something so outrageous that someone will launch an investigation. Someone wants an investigation into what NASA is doing. Remember several months ago, we had another strange incident. Remember the train that goes from Utah down to the Cape?
It derailed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
It carries the segments for the big solid rocket boosters. It derailed, and it was the second time in a week that the same train had derailed, but in a different state, and the last time it happened was never. So they've been doing this for over 25 years, right?
Stay with us, Richard. We're going to come back and talk with you more about this. And also, drunk astronauts allowed on the shuttle. This is an incredible story. Then later on tonight, for the rest of this hour, we'll have open lines. But I want to wrap up these stories with Richard C. Hoagland. Well, let's go back to Richard C. Hoagland before we take some open line phone calls here. So this whole episode, NASA found it, I guess, through a computer check. At the space station?
A contractor who reported about a week and a half ago that they'd found this box, the backup box in their laboratory, with the wires cut. So NASA immediately went and looked at the flight model, which is being loaded aboard the shuttle for the flight in 2 weeks, and they found the wires had been cut in it, too. This is very bizarre. This is so off the wall. This is never deliberate sabotage in a NASA mission has never, ever happened, George. This is the first time.
That is incredible. Okay, drunk astronauts allowed on the shuttle. What the heck is going on?
Aviation Week in Space Technology, which is the kind of industry Bible of this aerospace industry, reported this week in its issue, and there's going to be an official NASA press conference tomorrow, Friday, acknowledging this and going into details, that after the Lisa Nowak incident, remember the astronaut who drove from Houston to the Cape on some kind of romantic...
Yeah, sure.
NASA set up an independent panel consisting of one NASA doctor and eight other members, including Air Force psychiatrists and psychologists and medical doctors, to basically look into the entire astronaut corps and the pressures and stresses on astronauts flying. And what they are reporting and will be basically reviewing tomorrow at this press conference is a number of very disturbing facts, including the fact that alcohol has been detected on astronauts' breathalyzer tests less than 12 hours before flight, which violates mission rules, the so-called 12 hours from bottle to throttle, as they call it.
So drunk.
And two of them were identified in this report as absolutely drunk. And what was bizarre is that their fellow crewmates and even NASA flight surgeons were overruled by senior NASA personnel, and two drunk astronauts flew into space in the shuttle program.
And they tried to hush it up.
And they've tried to keep it under wraps. In other words, as Alex said a few minutes ago, the wheels are coming off. And you know what I'm coming to the conclusion, George, is that the NASA that we see, the NASA that spent $100 billion on the space station, the NASA that's flying this flying death trap called the shuttle, is not the real game in town. It's not the real space program. Can you imagine back in the days of Mercury or Gemini or Apollo, an astronaut getting drunk and flying to the moon?
National heroes, Richard.
Exactly. So the psychological reason why people let their guard down and basically they just act like it's a job and a bad, boring job at that is when they realize psychologically, George, that they're not real. In other words, they're not the real heroes everybody thinks they are because they're only a false front Western town. They're not the real space program. So look at these investigations. Let's follow this carefully because there's a lot more here below the waterline than these two stories this afternoon are giving credence to.
All right, Richard, thanks so much on both of these stories, huge stories. Richard C. Hoagland, head of the EnterpriseMission.com. Get up to his website and keep tabs on the things that he posts all the time. He's right on top of these science stories. He's been saying it for years. There's something wrong there. And look at these stories. I'll be back in a moment. We'll have open lines now on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we'll take open line calls right to the top of the hour, and then next hour, three full hours with Sean David Morton. And let me tell you, he's been making some huge predictions lately on this program. Stock market really took it on the chin today. The Dow closing down 311 points. Man, let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're up with us. Where are you calling from?
Hi, George. My name's Bill, calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Hey, I had a comment regarding the tax evasion story you ran first off this evening. In particular, they suggested that some law enforcement people had stated that they were going to do what they were told, regardless of whether there was a law or not. That kind of bothers me, George. As a formal naval officer,
you or me,
people should remember that their oath was to the Constitution, not to their commanders or their COs. I mean, we heard that at Nuremberg.
If it's against the law, an officer has a duty to question any order by someone higher up. And in this case, at least the police officers, Bill, I know, if they knew something was against the law, they would not go ahead and enforce it or push it. It's disturbing to hear that some of these in New Hampshire would circumvent.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly my point. And, you know, it falls right in line with stories you've done on the Second Amendment. I mean, it looks to me like the First and Second Amendment and, the Fourth and Fifth, they're being eroded drastically.
Right, but, you know, now the case, though, in New Hampshire, it's a court conviction. And whether we agree with it or not, or question it or not, then law enforcement, unfortunately, has a duty to carry out the order of the courts. That's the way our system works. I want to get this tax law, this tax code looked at and reviewed so all of us that pay taxes can fully understand just what the heck is going on here.
Exactly. We have to know if it truly is the law and what's going on. That's a very good point, George. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Okay, Bill, east of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. It's your turn.
Yes, hello. Last night's show, you displayed courage and concern for, you know, unknown outcome of your experiments with the Ouija board. And, you know, I think that's a scientifically responsible action because, you know, in science, when you're doing an experiment, you try to work everything out on paper so there's no surprises and it's a safe and, you know, controlled experiment. You always hear people say about, you know, a controlled experiment, and you tried to do that, you know, with your experts and whatnot, and but I still think you were, you know, working out the unknowns of what you were about to do, and I think you just felt uncomfortable about it, and that's a scientifically responsible action when you're conducting any experiment.
Yeah, exactly. I did feel very uncomfortable as I continued to get into it. A couple events that had happened, and we talked with Steve Coyle today, one of our longtime guests whose mother passed away last night, and I'd mentioned, and just for some of the people who sent me a few emails that said, come on now, the Ouija board experiment or planned experiment did not have anything to do with Steve Quayle's mother passing on. I know that. What I was trying to say is that the circumstances of a person who told me a little over a week ago not to do the experiment and then his mother dies on that day, it's as if those powers that be are trying to tell me something. And that wasn't the only issue, and that wasn't the only case. There were a lot of things going on. And by the way, the emails that came in today have been overwhelming in support of not doing that experiment. And there were some that said I should have gone ahead and finished it. One person said, you wimped out on us, you're afraid of it. No. Do not get the wrong idea there. I think the Ouija board is a toy. I am not afraid of it. My experiment was to show that it was just a toy. My problem was that a lot of other people think it's darn real and think it affects them and thinks that it opens up a portal, and I'm not going to subject them to that possibility because if they believe it, then it really could happen, and I don't want that on my shoulders. Let's go first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Michael. I'm from Houston.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I've got a couple of friends that work at NASA, and about 3 days ago I was talking to one on the phone, and they were very vague and acted very nervous, but they were giving me ideas and hints about the rover finding something on Mars that had to do with the face on Mars.
Really?
And
well, I don't even think the rovers are that close to that area, Michael.
Well, I have no idea where they're at. I was just going by what he was saying.
All right. Tell me, what did they tell you? Yeah, let's just hear the story.
He was very vague and was just saying that they found something on Mars, and it was linked to possibly the face or something else. He didn't say specifically.
Okay.
But I was just wondering if the recent news coming up about the drunk pilots and stuff like that had might be something to hide facts that they found something.
Gosh, I don't know. Do you think these two NASA employees may go public with this, or can they leak us some information here?
The information, or what they were acting like they were trying to tell me, is that NASA was getting ready to plan a mission to Mars and was getting to ready to make an announcement. And then, but like I said, this was 3 days ago they were telling me this. And they acted like they were getting ready to make an announcement. They were extremely excited and nervous about it.
When might this announcement occur?
They didn't say. They didn't give me any idea of that.
Are you in touch with them?
Not currently. They basically have gone back to work and are just inside NASA right now.
All right. You can find them, though, anytime you want?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to try to call them sometime and see.
Well, do that, because I would love to confidentially talk with them in some form or fashion.
Okay.
Even if it's with you.
Okay.
All right. I mean, that could be an incredible story. Let's move on. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Kyle from Binghamton, New York.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, listen, there was just some breaking news that I wonder if you heard about. It's the fact that China was behind the border agents being arrested.
China was behind the two border agents who shot that drug smuggler?
No. Ramos and Campion.
Yeah, those were two border agents. Yes. They shot a drug smuggler. Shot him in the butt.
Jerry Corsi is the one who actually broke this exclusive, and it's on WorldNet Daily right now.
Okay, I'll go look at it. Corsi's a good man. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. That's from Jerry Corsi's PR man who just called us. Jerry's a good guy. Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Michael calling from Austin, Texas.
Hey, Michael.
I'm curious. You've been building this Ouija board up for months, and if you're not doing it for ratings, why have you pulled in at the last second? You had plenty of opportunity to turn this opportunity down, and why wait till the last second? Is there any opportunity in the future that you might, you know?
Well, let me tell you a couple things, Michael. First of all, radio is not like television when it comes for ratings. For TV, they get rated every day, and they get their results the next day. We aren't doing that in radio at this point. We are still being rated on a three-month increment. Last night's show had nothing to do with ratings. Why didn't I change my mind earlier? Because I fully intended to do this. I was going in there with some hesitation. But when that board was out there and Rosemary had things ready, I was ready to put my little fingers on that thing and do what it was supposed to do. And then it just all hit me at the same time. I mean, I had, including me, eight people in that closed room last night. And somebody even sent me a note and said, "My God, you read from a script." I had no script there. I said everything I said off the top of my head last night. The only copy I had in there was my live Purina One commercial. That was it. I plan to do it. Now, what does that mean in the future? If I do anything, and let me qualify that, I will do that Ouija board experiment with Rosemary, with Goldberg, off the air somewhere. And then if you want to hear the results, I'll tell you what they are, if I even go that far. And I'm not even sure I'm even going to do that. And I'm definitely not even thinking about it at this point. So, I mean, there it is. Those are the facts. And, you know, honestly, at the point where I canceled it last night, I wish I would have canceled it a few weeks ago. It would have been easier. But I fully intended to go ahead and do it. I mean, I had people who didn't listen to this show last night because I was going to do this experiment, who woke up this morning, read the coasttocoastam.com recap, and said, "My gosh, he didn't do it," sending me congratulatory emails. I mean, if that's the way I wanted to take it, that's the way I would have done it. It would have been an easier way out. I fully intended to do it. I was curious. I wanted to see what was going to happen. And honestly, I didn't expect anything to happen because I think the board's a toy. That's the way I think. But a lot of people don't, and it affects them another way. And I'm beginning to think that it is all of us in our belief system that have the ability to do whatever you're doing in the spirit world. If you believe it, it's going to happen. If you don't, then it's not. Let's move on next. Let's go to west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George Norrie.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Jeremy. I live in Texas. I just wanted to commend you on your actions last night for one thing, because what your, I don't remember what his name was, the one that was the naysayer that didn't want you to do it.
Well, Jordan Maxwell.
The occultist,
yeah.
Yeah. For one thing, you told us to, I tried to call you last night and I couldn't get through, and I don't have a lot of time, so I've got to go, I'm on my lunch break right now, but okay. I work at a prison, which is a very negative atmosphere. I drive mobile most of the time around it.
Sure.
And outside last night, when I tuned into your program, the weird thing that happened was I don't have a lot of coyotes or anything around here, mostly cows and stuff. So, outside the fence, they were howling.
At that moment?
They continued to do so, okay? And the minute you, I'm serious, the minute that you decided you were not going to do this, it stopped.
Done.
It was done. It was
how
like,
bizarre.
The timing was what was weird. But what I was also wanting to tell you was your friend there. I had an experience a long time ago where I was attacked by a negative entity, and it was my fault because I didn't put the right protections up.
Sure.
I'm not a cultist or anything like that, but I have had my dealings with the stuff.
You just opened yourself up to it, and bang.
I didn't protect myself because I didn't know how at the time. And I had to battle the thing for 3 months. It actually, yeah, there's a very, very real side to what he was talking about last night. I've experienced
all the spirit world, I'm sure, is real. Whether it comes through a Ouija board or not, I don't think so. But I'm telling you, I mean, spirits are real. Ghosts are real. They exist. I know.
It's not really the Ouija board itself. It's like what you were talking about with your past caller just now. It's what we open, the doors we open and allow things to come through.
See,
our own thoughts to process.
The mistake I made, and we're human beings, we make mistakes. Yes, even I make mistakes. The mistake I made was not realizing weeks ago that there were a lot of other people out there that could be affected by those actions.
Yeah, and that's what he was saying, was what I was saying, is it may not have affected you, it may not have affected anybody in the room, but it could have affected other people. And the people that you reach, however many people listen to you, which I don't know what your listening range is.
It's huge.
But the people, there are some people that could have been very negatively affected by it. And I just wanted to call you and commend you on what you did, because it could have affected a lot of people. He was right, even with their own psychological makeup and everything.
Oh, that's all I needed was one person to say they went crazy, they killed someone because of this, they did something. Then, you know, someone calls me and say their brother killed himself over it. I don't want that on my shoulders.
Right.
All right, thanks. Appreciate the call. How much time do we have? A minute to go. Can you get your story in a minute? If it is, it's all yours.
Am I on the air?
Yeah, I just have a minute for you, sir.
Hi, this is George from Fort Wayne, Amy. I deliberately did not listen last night because I didn't want to find out what was might occurred.
Yeah.
But I just want to commend you for, I think, respect of the portal that may have opened, kind of the law of unintended consequences in effect there. I've been a born-again Christian for 25-odd years, and I'm not afraid of it, but I respect it.
Well, I tell you what, the best call I got was today from my 77-year-old mother, who said, "Thank God I was praying that you wouldn't go ahead and do that." And I said, "Well, Mom, why didn't you call me earlier and tell me not to do this?" And she said, "All I knew, you'd make up your mind to do it the right way eventually anyway." Ah, isn't that what moms are for? I'll be back in a moment. 3 hours now with Sean David Morton, Intuitive Remote Viewer. Predictions, past and present, right here on Coast to Coast AM.